Welcome to Pacific Hope with Pastor Gary Walton of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. In this message from the Psalms, Pastor Gary explains why David was called a man after God's own heart. Through integrity, transparency, intimacy, and spiritual tenacity, David kept pursuing the Lord, even after his failure. His life shows that what God wants most is a heart fully His. Here is Pastor Gary Walton.
I want you to turn in your Bible to our text this morning. It's the book of Psalms, the whole thing. In this series, we've been working our way through 1 and 2 Samuel, but I was thinking, how do you do a series on David and not talk about Psalms? So actually, we probably can't read the whole book, but I do want to read a few passages and try to get an overview. I think that it will really help us get this big question. What was it about David that set him apart as the only man labeled by God as a man after God's heart? So I want to look at four things, four characteristics, and summarize. We're going to actually, different than most Sundays, we're going to go to several different texts. The text is the book of Psalms. Characteristic number one is the idea of integrity. And we're going to begin in Psalm 78, verse 70. So this is one of the longer Psalms. And verse 70 says this, "And he chose David, also his servant, and took him from the sheepfold. From following the ewes, great with young, he brought him to feed Jacob his people and Israel his inheritance. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands." Actually, you can find a whole summary of David's life wrapped up in these three verses. He chose David his servant. He was about 17 years old. He took him from the sheepfolds. Remember, his early life was as a shepherd out in the sheepfolds and the fields of his land and of his family's fields. He took him from the sheepfolds and he brought him to feed Jacob his people at about 30. That was the time frame. So we have a summary of these early parts of David's life, and then the last part is the last nearly 40 years. At 17, he called him. That was with Samuel. The next 13 years were that whole time period, kind of running from Saul. At 30 years old, then he brought him to feed Jacob his people. And then for the final 40 years of his life, this text says he fed or he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them with skillful hands. I love this word integrity. That's who David was. He was a man of integrity. Integrity does not mean he was perfect. We already know that he wasn't. We basically spent all summer discovering the fact that he was not perfect. But David was the person that he claimed to be. He was committed to following after God, and his life was a life of integrity. That's how the psalmist would have described him. Integrity is sort of an interesting word. It's from the Hebrew. The original word in verse 72 has the idea of upright or full or complete. In fact, some of your translations may use the word upright, but it has full or complete, which is actually part of the English word. Integrity is from the root word integer. And for those of you that have a math background, you might know that integer means a whole. It's a whole number. It's not a fraction. Two kind of ideas: the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles, moral uprightness. And then the second part that's connected with the integer word is the state of being whole and undivided. And that's really, I think, the main idea of this word. Both of them together, uprightness, but the uprightness is connected with this wholeness, this completeness. Not divided into separate compartments. His life matches. Your walk and your talk match. You're the same person at work as you are at home. You're the same person at home as you are at church. There's not a dichotomy. There's not a difference between who you are in one section of your life or as you're interacting with one certain group of friends and then who you are in another area. That's the word integrity. It means your life is put together. It's complete. It's whole. And I think it's an absolutely critical word and characteristic in the life of any Christian. Warren Wiersbe defines integrity this way. He says, a person with integrity is not divided, that's duplicity, or merely pretending, that's hypocrisy. People with integrity have nothing to hide and nothing to fear. And man, I want to be a person like that. It seems significant to me, not just for a pastor, not just for a spiritual leader. I think it's significant for any Christian that our walk and our talk would match, right? That anybody that looked at our life would not be able to say, well, you know, they act like a Christian in that scene, but in that scene, I wouldn't even know if they're a Christian or not. Or their talk says something, but I don't necessarily see that being played out in their life. Turn with me real quick to Matthew 22. This is going to be familiar to you, verse 37. Actually, I think it begins in verse 34, 35. We call this the Great Commandment. Remember, there were some guys that came to Jesus trying to trick him, and they asked him, you know, what is the greatest commandment? And they were looking for something, you know, out of the Old Testament. They wanted to know what Jesus would say. Verse 36, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? What's the one? I mean, if we can only get one, what is it? Jesus says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. You know what this is? I mean, this is Jesus' call to us to live this passionate, primary, priority desire in all of our lives is not anything else, but it's Jesus. It's only Jesus. The primary call on our life, but it's wrapped in or wrapped around what I would say is this idea of integrity, because it uses the all word. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart. The whole thing. Not divided. All thy heart and with all thy soul. Not part of your soul. Love God with part of your soul and then some other things with part of your soul. And with all thy mind. In fact, if you want to write into your notes, I wrote it down this way. The person with integrity has a single heart. 1 John 2:15 says, do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You cannot have two loves in your life. Integrity has a single heart. The person with integrity has a single mind, a single outlook that keeps life going in the right direction. James 1:8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And the person with integrity has a single will. Matthew 6:24 says, no man can serve two masters. You cannot love God and love the world at the same time. It will not work. What is all this? This is integrity. It means your life matches. It's whole. It's complete. I mean, I think this is a big part of David's story. I think it helps us to understand significant failures, but he wasn't two-faced about it. He faced his failures. He spoke honestly with God about where he was at and what he was thinking. I mean, just read the Psalms. We're going to look at some more passages here in a minute, but this is David. He was all in. And you get that when you read the Psalms. We read 1 and 2 Samuel. sort of the narrative of his life, and we think, man alive, he made a lot of bad choices, and he did. The Bible doesn't hide us from those. But when we put it together with the description of Psalms, we have a man who is passionate for God all in, over and over, and I want to keep telling you about that. Characteristic number two, if you want to write in the word transparency, listen to this. I don't think we can talk about David's life without talking about this word. You see it all through Samuel and all through the Psalms. David was just totally honest and transparent. And I'm going to read a few texts with you. Start in Psalm 32. Verse 1 says this, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile." David says, when I kept silent, so there was some times in his life when he hid and ducked, but when that happened, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I want you to go to Psalm 51. So David tells us clearly, he's very transparent about his life, about his failures, even about the guilt that overcame him in his life. And Psalm 32, you may know, is connected with Psalm 51. We'll read just a few verses out of here, beginning in verse 2. David says, "Wash me thoroughly from mine sin, and cleanse me from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest." Verse 6. "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts." Right? This is transparency. It's a definition of it. "And in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom." Verse 10. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." David has this transparency of his words, and I'm just picking out a few verses, but we could see this over and over and over again as we read through the Psalms. He just lays it out there. He says, "Here's my sin. This is what happened. God, I need your help." And what did God think about that? God liked it. He loved it. God did not say, "You know, David, can't you just tone it down a little bit? I mean, you seem to be getting kind of emotional about this stuff." He doesn't say that. He says, "Now there's a man after my own heart. David is a man who thinks like I do. If I can just tell you, there's no sense in coming into God's presence and putting on a facade. He knows what's in your heart anyway. There's no point in coming to church or trying to live out your Christian life in front of others and faking it, acting one way in order to maybe impress people or maybe to come across and say, hey, listen, there's no point in that. God knows. He knows what's in your heart. And so when you find a guy like David, who it's just out there, I mean, he talks very transparently of what's going on. He talks transparently to God about what he's thinking and the sin and the issues that he's going with. God's not saying, "Hey, David, you know, just calm it down, tone it down a little bit." God's saying, "I love this. This is a man after my heart." Turn over to Psalm 139, verse 23. Here's transparency. David says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." God, I want to be known of you. I'm not trying to hide anything. Search me, know me, try me, know my thoughts, and see, identify for me any wicked way in me. When tragedy occurred in David's life, David didn't plaster on a fake smile. He wept until he couldn't cry anymore. That's what we see in the Psalms. And then he strengthened himself in the Lord. That's what we read. He cried. We see it. It's open. It's out there for us. But it didn't stop there. Then he strengthened himself in the Lord. When he was excited, David danced. And everybody knew it. Everybody knew the good and the joy that was in David's life. David danced and he cried and he made mistakes and he had trouble with his kids and he had struggles with his marriage. He expressed his pain. He talked about his fear. He talked about his confusion. He talked about his anger and even communicated it to God. His frustration at times. Just read the Psalms. Just read through it. You'll see it all out there. My prayer is that we would have this kind of transparent spirits before God and before others that gets rid of the facades of trying to fake Christianity or fake what we expect other people and just be real about the things that God's doing in our lives. You know, the longer I live, the less time I have for games. Actually, I probably haven't had a lot of time for games my whole life. Our lives are lived here on earth for a reason. There is a purpose in your existence. And I want to be patient because people are patient with me in my life, but I'm telling you, I get easily frustrated by Christians who are just going through the motions and just playing the game. Listen, it's just way more important than that. David's an example of a person who said, the epitome of transparency, search me, O God, and know me, try me, know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way, and lead me. This is what I want. This is our desire. This is my desire for our family. Do you long for this kind of transparency with God? Characteristic number three, it's the word intimacy, Psalm 27. Real quick, let me read these verses. Psalm 27, verse 4 says this, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." Verse 8 says, "When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." Go over to Psalm 42, verse 1. Very familiar, says, "As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" Go to Psalm 84. These are all Psalms of David describing his desire. Psalm 84, verse 10 says this, "For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wickedness." Let me ask you, is this your heart? Do you long for intimacy with God that is like David's? Or are you content with just going through the motions? Are you content with coming to church and sitting and listening and then leaving? Or do you desire the kind of intimacy that David describes for us? Listen, this intimacy is drawn out of some of David's failures where he knew that on my own, I'm not enough and it's a mess. I need God and I want Him in this kind of way. If we had to have just one answer to the question, what was it about David that caused God to set David apart in his place as this man who follows God's heart? If I could summarize it all in all ways, here's the word that I would say that maybe summarizes these other things. Characteristic number four. We're going to call it this spiritual tenacity. So we've talked about integrity. We've talked about transparency. We've talked about intimacy. And in trying to encapsulate all of the Psalms to answer this question, why is David a man after God's own heart. I want to make sure that we stop for a minute on this idea of spiritual, what we're calling this morning, is tenacity. What I mean by that is this. In all of these tough situations in David's life, through all of these failures, David just keeps getting back up on the horse. Do you know that figure of speech? He just keeps getting back up on the horse. When the horse bucks you off, the idea is, you know, you can quit. You can say, I know what happens when I get up on the back of a horse. I get bucked off. That hurts. Or evidently, if you decide to wait a while, I'm not going to get up right now, maybe tomorrow, maybe the next day. The longer you wait, the more fear you have to try to get back up on the horse. So the idea is if you get bucked off a horse, you get right back on. That's a figure of speech. So David made these bad choices, some very foolish ones. Those around him suffered some of the consequences of these choices. But what we see time and again, when confronted by his sin, David had the courage to make things right, whatever it took. Hey, listen, Christian, whether you've been a believer for 2 months or for 30 years, you know, you're going to blow it. And sometimes you're going to blow it big time. And you're going to be embarrassed. And you're going to wonder, why in the world did I do that? I didn't want to do that. And your natural tendency is going to be to make excuses and to justify and not deal with it. Or it might be to look for the easy way out. Here's what God wants you to do. He wants you to do what David did over and over and over again. He got down on his knees and he said, God, I blew it. Maybe he said, I blew it again. And my heart is so convicted. And I desire above all else in my life to have a fellowship with you that's intimate as if I'm living in your house. And I'm sorry, and I don't want to live this way, and I seek and I ask your forgiveness. Well, David's integrity, he didn't want to be fake, and his transparency, he didn't want to put on a facade and act like everything was okay when it really wasn't. And his desire for intimacy with God, right? All of these things come together and they're so critical for you, Christian. This is why God calls David a man after his heart, because he was characterized by integrity and he was not going to be anything about anything except for transparency, and he was desiring intimacy with God, and all of that just resulted in this spiritual tenacity, we'll call it. And he just genuinely confessed and he sought forgiveness, and God says, that's it. That's what I want. That's what I'm looking for. You don't have to be perfect. And I'm not saying go out there and just do whatever you want, make your bad choices. No, don't do that. We got a lot of consequences, and David faced these dire consequences in his life. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying at the end, after each of these failures, David came back and got on his knees and asked God forgiveness and got back up on the horse. And God says, that's it. That's what I want. That's a man after my own heart. Christian, bring before you this idea of spiritual tenacity. I don't know if I've used the word tenacity before. I haven't heard it much, but I would tell you, I think tenacity is a biblical spiritual character trait. Sometimes in life, we get beat up a little bit, but the tenacity says, I'm going to stay at this like a bulldog. When I fail, I'm going to get on my knees and I'm going to seek forgiveness and I'm going to come back and I'm not going to quit. So if you've come here this morning and your life is not perfect, welcome to the crowd. Really. And I want you to know that because it's just this room is filled with people that don't have perfect lives. And you'd say, man, I've made some mistakes and I've got some failures in my life. And you might have thought, God could never use me. God could never do something great with someone like me. I mean, I've failed so many times. He probably doesn't even want anything else to do with me. And I want to tell you this, and I want you to listen very carefully. If David were here this morning, I think he would say something like this: God never gave up on me until he had accomplished what he had started, and he will never give up on you either. So don't be discouraged. In our group this morning, man, we have some amazing stories of God's faithfulness. I wish I could go around this room with a mic. Stories of failure and stories of forgiveness and stories of God's faithfulness. Some younger people and some older people who have just witnessed God's faithfulness in every aspect of life, day after day after day. Listen, if you can relate to what I'm saying right now, I want you to know that God wants to do a work in your heart right now. And what you have to do is you have to be honest with him, because he knows anyway. Ultimately, I want to tell you this. Here's my burden this morning. Man sees the outside, but God sees the heart.
Thanks for listening to Pacific Hope with Pastor Gary Walton. Pacific Hope is a production of Harvest Baptist Church and Harvest Family Radio. If you'd like to learn more about Harvest Baptist Church, visit hbcguam.org. To learn more about Harvest Family Radio or Pacific Hope, visit khmg.org. Harvest Ministries is located on Guam and exists to help people develop a heart for God. It is our hope that this message has played a part in doing just that. Again, thanks for listening to this episode of Pacific Hope.